as a manager, you're clearly thinking about the game, the matchup, what you're going to do next, and what you might have to do after that. In those moments, though, do you allow yourself to live inside of what can be a very exciting place to play baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I think you absolutely feel it and you enjoy it. You still got to think about what's next, but that's how you do it. I mean, that's why we all love great atmospheres, because just being in it and being amongst everybody is part of what makes the place so special.
Yeah, there's a spirituality sometimes, Craig, about like the energy of a crowd feeding off the energy of a ball club and then going back to the crowd and back to the ball club, like this sort of circle. I know that's some hippy-dippy baloney to a lot of people.
I love it. Speaks, I love it. That's great. That's great hippy-dippy baloney, man.
I didn't know hippies ate baloney.
But, I mean, do you feel that? Yeah, hippies love baloney, man. Just roll it up, put a piece of cheese in there. Do you feel it like that sometimes?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to say it. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the crowd feeds off the team. The team feeds off the crowd. And that's what makes it special. So I absolutely think a great home field and great fans can make you feel that.
Yeah, I mean, you said last night that like the belief that you can come back is like something you learn and then start to believe in, and it can get stronger over the course of a season for a team. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, it's. You know, it's a chicken and the egg, you know, it's which comes first, like the comeback or the belief, right? You know, but you do it once. And it's not that, and I guess what I was trying to say last night is it's not that, you know, after that leadoff hitter Kelly gets on, Carson gets on, it's not that you know what's going to happen. It's just the place changes because it's happened before this year, right? And that's what you felt like the place believed it almost. And like I said, it ain't going to make it happen, but it gives everybody some belief and it gets everybody locked in and fired up and, you know, some good things happened.
Another way that manifested itself was with Ballesteros, where he comes up and obviously a guy comes up for the first time, you give him a great hand, and then he had the bases loaded situation. When a new player comes up, do you tell them about what Wrigley is like, or do you like, hey, you're going to just have to experience what this place is like?
I think you have to experience it. You know, I think telling people how they're going to feel, I'm not sure that helps them, right? You got to, because you have to, what are your emotions going to do to you? And then how does that affect your at-bats? Does it affect your mechanics, things like that? Does it affect how you think? You do have to process that. And that's the beauty of, like, pressure. You know, that's playing with pressure, right? And that's what we love to do. So you want it, but until you go through it, you're not sure how you're going to feel.
I was thinking as Lawrence was asking about Ballesteros or Ballesteros, I mix them up. I've always thought that like great teams usually have that one kid or maybe two kids or maybe three kids who are just like so happy and so energetic just to be there. And then I started thinking, well, we should look back at Craig Counsell's 2001 Diamondbacks and see who the young guy was on that team. I don't know if you had any. It was a bunch of old 30-somethings. Every single starter in their 30s. What the hell, Craig? That was a veteran bunch you were on. I don't know if there were any kids on that team.
On that team, there were not. No. There was no real young players on that team, no.
I guess Byung-Hun Kim, but, you know, things didn't go so well for him, but they still won. All right, we'll move on. What has Justin Turner been like behind the scenes from your perspective? It was so great to see him get that moment last night. What kind of role has he played on your team?
I think largely what you'd expect. I mean, Justin's, he's just a baseball player. He's made his career out of he's obviously a very talented hitter, but he's made his career out of just really having a like close feel with the game, and sees the game, cage rat, you know, like in the cage all the time, talking baseball. And so it's easy because that guy's always watching. And when you're always watching, you're always seeing things that can maybe help your teammates or give you a little bit of an edge. and that never stops with Justin. And so that's what he's, I think, added for sure. And look, he hasn't swung the bat great yet. He knows that. And we know that, and we're trying to get him going, and it's great to have a moment like that last night, just to, you know, feel like it did something great for the team, right? When you've struggled a little bit, so hopefully that can be a catalyst and you know, help him get on track here.
Ben Brown was saying after the game that Justin Turner has had time for every single person on the team. I'm super grateful he's even had time for me. That's a young pitcher. And Justin Turner has sought him out. That seems like a rare thing for a veteran to do on a ball club.
Yeah, I think Justin, you know, truly enjoys like the clubhouse and not the clubhouse just for like, but for like to talk baseball and to help people with baseball. Not just to be there, but to really talk about the game or help a player kind of move forward. And that's cool, and that's fun. And I think when you understand what Justin's kind of accomplished and the moments that he's been in, you do want to talk about that with him.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Craig, from your perspective, how did you guys get Dansby back on track offensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Dansby has historically gone through pretty big swings kind of in like hot and cold, you know, maybe a little more significant than probably more significant than a lot of guys. And that's just how he gets to kind of his offensive profile. So, you know, I think just some thing we all try to figure this out as hitters, right? You try to figure, why do I go into slumps? And then when I'm hot, why was I ever in a slump? It's not a very answerable question, right? Because if I could answer it, then there'd be really no excuse for him to go into a slump, right?
Correct. So
it's a little bit like
it's like science and art at the same time.
Yeah, you're trying and you're making adjustments, and maybe that's not working, or maybe the player's not hearing it, and you're trying to figure out how do I get someone to hear maybe something that doesn't make sense to him right now. So it's just, you know, you just keep trying, and Dan, you keep working at it. The player keeps working at it. The coach keeps working at it. And you just keep going through that process, and it's messy, and it's not always successful, and it's the fun of coaching.
Craig, on the broadcast last night, Taylor McGregor brought up something I thought was fascinating that I think we're going to talk about later on in the show, and it's the idea of young pitchers maybe coming back to charting pitches, which I was sitting there going, wow, I didn't know that a lot of teams had kind of stopped doing that. What's your philosophy on that? And as a player, what do you think is the benefit of it?
I mean, the benefit of it is I think the reason it was originally done is because it was legitimately the only way. That's how we actually kept track, right? Now it is kept track for us, right? The computers, essentially, the data does it for us, essentially. But I think this idea stems from just being very similar to another maybe pitcher on the team. And for that reason, you know, there's some reason to just kind of understand that. And then I think when you're really, really new to this process and the big league hitter, you know, that there's some value there too.
And there's some nuance too of like raw data versus what you're picking up as you're seeing. And I always try to marry the objective and the subjective in baseball because human beings play the game. It just feels like it's one of those things that, yes, you can have the data presented to you, but the experience of watching it so closely, I feel like there's some benefit to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting conversation that comes out of that is it's just like a question of why. Why did you choose that pitch? And then understanding, you know, what goes through the pitcher's head as to why he chose that pitch, or what goes through the catcher's head as to why he chose that pitch. That's where the learning happens. You might not agree with it, you know, and maybe it caused you to go a different direction. pitch calling and game calling is a very nuanced topic. But I think you try to just get a little bit better at it, and a little bit better at it. And you never master it. You never have the right answer, but you just try to keep getting a little bit better at it.
With that as the backdrop, Craig, what are your takeaways, or what were your takeaways from Cade Horton shaking off Miguel Amaya to throw his first changeup of the game and elicit just a horribly lost swing from Juan Soto at Citi Field on Saturday night?
Horribly lost swing. Interesting.
Well,
interesting take.
I mean, that's not a guy who looks like that. Didn't he look lost? He never looks like that.
I loved it because he swung and missed.
Okay. What about like the courage of Cade?
You don't like that answer? You want a different answer?
I want more, Craig. I mean, we got a few minutes left. I mean, we can just move on to the next thing. We can do that. But I suspect there's more that you thought about that. No?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the cool thing for me is that, you know, it, regardless of the quality of the pitch, it shows Cade has some conviction there. I think that's probably the thing you learn from that. And on that time it worked, and then at some other point conviction can get you in a little trouble, right? But I think it's also a confidence builder, which we like, and that the changeup, you know, can play in a big spot. Now it's one pitch, so we're gonna have to like throw a bunch more of them to see if it's gonna be a good pitch for him. But it's certainly you know, at that moment, it was Cade had conviction and he executed a really good pitch.
See, that was not a horribly lost answer right there. That was much better.
It's very found.
Yeah, he found it. He's beautifully found that answer. When do we get to see Cade Horton again?
And when I'm on Sports Talk Radio, I learn that just keep talking, and that's helpful, right?
Oh my God, he figured out our job, Lawrence. Figured it out.
Craig, that's our motto. Just keep talking.
Just keep talking. We're like Dory, you know? Finding Nemo. But that's how we live it.
All right.
Wait. So when do we get to see Cade Horton again? And will it be as a starter or will there be an opener?
We're going to do some work on the White Sox this weekend. But I think you'll see him this weekend.
Friday, Saturday, starting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are days that are on the weekend. It's
Come
true.
Come on, man.
Craig, how do you feel like PCA's handling Starter? I mean, he always seems like a guy that's built for the spotlight, but actually being in the spotlight is different. How do you think he's handling it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Pete's doing great. I mean, I think, you know, nothing about kind of what's happening off the playing field, I think, has changed anything with Pete's doing on the playing field and or how he prepares. So I think he's handled it wonderfully. And I, you know, last year, one of the things that I was really proud of Pete for, and I thought one of the best signs of last year, and we probably talked about this, I just thought his routine, you know, despite his struggles, he got very consistent in his routine. And in a good way, and like it was purposeful. It meant something. It made him better, and he didn't bail on it as he struggled, which is hard to do. And that, you know, that kind of discipline helps you when you go through other things, and this is one of those other things. This is not struggle. This is the other side of it, maybe. But that discipline to that routine and to that preparation and the consistency of it, you know, helps him on this side of it too.
Craig Counsell with us here on Spiegelman Holmes for a couple more minutes. Ryan Pressly with the scream after he got the swinging strikeout to end the inning last night. What's the key to handling a successful pro like Ryan Pressly in a moment like this, where he has struggled and the role is kind of, you know, moving around, if not fully shifted, just kind of moving around? What's the key to handling a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people kind of got different jobs here. You know, we'd really let him know that the roles were going to change for a period of time. And then you kind of go to work on trying to help him improve on some things. And that doesn't happen like overnight. But hopefully we've got enough, you know, we've started that process and hopefully making some strides for progress there. And then ultimately, yeah, we'd like to get him back to the back of the game. So that's, you know, we got to tell him the news. You got to tell him what's going on. You got to be honest with him and direct with him, and then go to work on trying to make improvements. And Press has been, you know, he's a consummate pro. He cares about trying to doing it for the team and getting it right. And he's handled this as well as you can handle it, and he's handled it the right way, and tried to just keep coming back and getting better.
That's cool. Are you, as a manager, comfortable with a bullpen where sometimes you close with Porter Hodge, sometimes you close with Drew Pomeranz? Some managers really like that push-button answer. It can be stressful. How's your comfort level right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the situation you're in. I mean, I think when you have a, you know, when it's very scripted, it means those guys are really executing at a super high level. I think, you know, we can't just put our head in the sand if we need to make some changes and say no. We have to like acknowledge that some players can struggle, and we got to get them back on track, but let's do it in a way that doesn't, you know, that helps the team still, right? And everybody's going to go through times like that. So that's what we're trying to do. And that's part of going through a season. And we'll continue to do that. And, you know, there's kind of different situations call for different actions.
Well, a good example of that is Chris Flexen. What have you thought of his contribution to you guys?
We've gotten some great contributions from some guys that haven't started here. I think Chris Flexen, Drew Pomeranz, on the roster right now, are two great examples of, you know, two relievers that have come in and really just, you know, in Flexen's case, you know, covered some seemingly didn't seem like big innings that turned into a couple of big innings in a couple of games. And then Drew's just been outstanding, getting lefties out. He obviously had a save the other night, but just kind of filling in and filling up the zone and with strikes. He's done a great job throwing strikes. So both those guys really doing their job. And the bullpens are very – it's a unit that they're all connected to each other, man. You get your outs, you help the next guy, right? And you don't get your outs, and then somebody has to pitch. So those two guys have certainly been doing a great job of it.
One more on the bullpen. You said about Palencia, he's, quote, an important pitcher for us, taking a big step forward, unquote. Could you expound on that for Daniel?
No, I think that says it all.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty succinct when I think about it. You know, yeah. Like I knew what you meant.
I'm going to go the anti-talk radio stance here.
That's good.
He's going newspaper on us.
That's good. Well, you know, he speaks in sound bites. That's nice. All right, we'll move on. Are we going to see Ballesteros against a lefty? Are we going to see that during his stint here? Does he get a chance to show he can hit those guys in what will probably be a DH stint?
Yeah, I would. I don't know for sure. I don't. You know, looking at who's moving forward or how long he's going to be here. We're gonna face some righties this weekend. I think there's a potential we face some openers this weekend as well. So, you know, there's some different variables tossed in there. I think at this point, if it was a traditional left-handed starter, he will not be in the lineup. No.
All right, we will have more hippy dippy baloney ready for you the next time we speak, sir.
I think
we'll
make sure. I'm ready for it. Yeah. Ready for it.
Craig, clearly. Good luck tonight against the Marlins. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Take care, guys.